I did take all the math that I could get in high school, because Dad and Jim had said if I ever did go to school, I ought to study engineering.
Mm-hmm.
See, I didn't have a counsel like the kids have nowadays as to what you could do and what you couldn't do and what your interest was. Mm-hmm. I wasn't really, as it turned out, I wasn't interested in being an engineer.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like I just, you know, half missed the first 2 years in school because of that. Mm-hmm. Like, I started off in accounting, had somebody to counsel me, you know, that that was what I was cut out for. Well, I'd have been so much better off. So as it was, when I was in the service, I made up my mind if I ever did go back and finish my education, it certainly wasn't going to be in engineering. But I didn't want to be an engineer.
Yeah.
I didn't like it. And so I had that decision made that if I did go back to school, it wouldn't be in engineering.
Mm-hmm.
And after I got out of service, why, I had a chance to do some accounting work for the railroad company there in Palestine in the freight claim department. And I liked the office procedures, and so I was, about that time I said, well, if I do go back to school, well, I think I'll try to get in accounting.
Now, let me back up for a minute and let's see. Now, when did you do your work on the
mail car
and all that?
Okay.
How old were you then?
Well, I was right after I got out of service. I got out of service in February of 46.
Oh, all right. So that was a little bit later on.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's wait on that then.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. So you graduated from high school in what year about?
1940.
Okay. And so what did you do right out of high school?
Well, of course, I went to that summer, I campaigned for Dad.
Yes, okay.
And when he was elected in that September, I started A&M.
A&M.
Yeah.
Okay, and you were majoring in engineering?
Engineering, mechanical engineering.
Okay, and so that was in the fall of 1940.
Mm-hmm.
And so you went all that year.
All that year.
And then started in the fall of 41. That's when the war, in the winter.
Yeah, I was in my sophomore year in 41. Living at that project house about three blocks north of the North Gate.
Mm-hmm. And were you married then yet?
No.
Okay.
And let's see, I left. The war started in December of 41, and they put A&M on a three-semester situation. Three,
mm-hmm.
four-month semesters instead of two, five-month, you know, like
like
it's run today. We got, so of course, they have summer school, but regular semesters, they just have two.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
But then, on the wartime situation, they decided they'd run 3-4 month semesters.
Mm-hmm.
And it was during the time that I was home, finished that spring semester, May 15th, I think, of 42, and went home, and it was during that 2 weeks period of time before I was supposed to start back again, and to my junior year, that Mama had a stroke and just almost died. For about 6 weeks, she just, you know, was just, could go either way. Well, I couldn't go back to school, you know, under that situation. And of course, the war going full blast, and I told Dad when it did look like that she was going to make it and everything, I said, well, I think rather I'm too late to get back in school now for this semester. I think I'll just go ahead and enlist in the Air Force, which I did.
Mm-hmm.
And
now, was it called the Air Force then?
It was called the Army Air Corps.
Yeah.
U.S. Army Air Corps.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it wasn't Air Force.
Right.
Air Force wasn't formed until sometime late in 1947.
Mm-hmm.
And but anyway, I you want to talk some about the military service?
Yeah. Well, why did you pick the Air Corps?
Well, I just I don't know. I felt like I'd like to be in the Air Corps. And thought, you know, that I would like to, we took a battery of tests at Kearns, Utah. First of all, let's get to Kearns if you want my military service after that.
Well, point. Had you flown on an airplane before
no,
that?
No, no. I wasn't too interested in the flying part of it even then.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just the fact that I thought maybe the communications in the Air Force would be a...
Oh, okay.
Desirable. I'd read some
the radio
pamphlets and stuff.
Experience
yeah.
and all that. Yeah. Okay. So you went down. Where did you go to enlist?
Well,
in
my cousin, William Russell Meek,
mm-hmm.
And I decided that we'd go in together. And so he came up from Houston to Palestine so we could go through the enlistment office there in Palestine. And so we enlisted there on October 20th, 1942, and went to Houston first, went through the induction station at Houston, and then went by train from Houston over to San Antonio. That was where on the night that we went from Houston to San Antonio that we had, this sergeant had a concession for little hamburgers. Must have made $1 million selling those hamburgers on those guys going to San Antonio. Anyway, we got to San Antonio, Fort Sam Houston, and went through the induction station there where we issued our uniforms, and we were there about 3 days. And they put us on this troop train across West Texas and New Mexico and Arizona and into San Bernardino, California, and up through Reno and Las Vegas up to Salt Lake City. And to an Air Force basic training center called Kearns, Utah, about 17 miles out of Salt Lake City. And this was where we went through a battery of aptitude tests for about 4 days there. We were taking all kinds of tests. And so the shipping orders came out. We'd expressed our desire to go to radio school if we could. And so we were right on the top of the list. And so we shipped out of there on two Pullmans after about 2 weeks stay there at Kearns. We got stayed together. William and I were together then until we got to Kansas City. There were two Pullmans. While I was in one, he was in the other. We thought we were going to the same place, but when we got to Kansas City, his Pullman went to Scott Field, Illinois, outside of St. Louis, and I went to Sioux Falls, South Dakota. So we didn't see each other then. This was in early November of 1942, and I didn't see him again then until February of 1946, the whole war. But when he finished school at Scott Field, same type of school, they needed instructors bad, and he was taken as an instructor at Scott Field. And he spent most of his time, the rest of the war, at Scott Field, Illinois.
And he was a flight instructor?
No, a radio instructor.
Radio instructor.
Yeah. And so then when I left Sioux Falls on a shipment of two Pullmans, I didn't know where we were going, went down through Chicago, Indianapolis, Cincinnati, Atlanta, ended up at Savannah, Georgia. And this was where I was assigned to the outfit that I spent most of the war with, 89th Aerodrome Squadron, that they were forming at that time. It was a new type unit that was supposed to receive training here in the States as be able to move in behind the infantry when the infantry captured an enemy airfield and put it into operation.
Mm-hmm.
We had all kinds of Air Force technical specialists assigned to it. I was in the communications radio group. And then we had sheet metal workers, engine mechanics, electrician specialists, and all the necessary technicians that take propeller specialists that it takes to run an airbase.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the unit then, when it was formed that summer of 43, we got to Hunter Field in April after I graduated from radio school at Sioux Falls in the latter part of March. And that summer of 43, we were taking infantry training and going on 10, 15 mile hikes and all kinds of goodies. And so I had a furlough. The only furlough I had while I was in the service was in July of 43. I came home, was home about 10 days.
And now you hadn't shipped out to go overseas yet?
No. So when I got back to Hunter Field from furlough, We were told that we were going on maneuvers, Second Army maneuvers up in Georgia and Tennessee and Kentucky. And so we went by train to through Chattanooga to a little town out there east of Nashville, Lebanon, Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
And we were in tents out there in the woods. We spent most of the next couple of months there. I was on a detached service at Camp Campbell, Kentucky, where I was me, myself, and one gunner technician and three engine mechanics, to crew this B-25 bomber that this major in this Tennessee Air Support Command was his private plane for flying around over the maneuver area, and they needed a temporary crew. Mm-hmm. So I really, that was my first experience in flying, was on a B-25. We had a lot of fun while we was up there because we were attached to this 15th Reconnaissance Group that was getting ready to go overseas for our rations and quarters.
Mm-hmm.
And the guys there were getting up and taking, they were fixing to go overseas right away. And they were getting them out in the morning early. About 4 o'clock in the morning, those guys would be getting up and going on a hike. And a lot of times I'd hear these guys, you know, we didn't have to do that because we were just attached to them for a place to sleep and eat. And these guys said, how come these guys get to lay up here in a sack while we got to get out and walk 15 miles? But anyway, we had a lot of fun. And it was there, one of the funny things that happened while I was there at Camp Campbell was they told us that they was going to have a mock gas attack, and to be prepared, we better take our gas mask everywhere we went. So we'd take them down to the flight line, to B-25, and lay them down on the ground. And there's flat country there on that, where that base was. Trees way on the far edge of the field, this line of trees. One morning there, I looked up, I could see this, it looked like an A-20 or a B-26. Right on top of the trees coming. Boy, I mean, he was mobile, right flat, coming down. And I said, I bet that son of a gun is going to tear gas us. And I hollered, I said, I think this plane's coming and going to gas us. And boy, I run and got my gas mask. And sure enough, that's what he did. Boy, let out a fog. I just was able to get my gas mask on in time.
But he actually did? No, I mean, he didn't actually drop gas on you, did
he? Tear gas.
Didn't he?
Yes, sir.
Oh.
And well, the guys were running every direction. It was funny, and yet it wasn't too funny. Well, the guys that got caught.
Did everybody get their mask on?
From then on, everybody put their mask on, yeah, or had it handy.
Yeah.
We had a lot of fun.
So then...
So we came back then, mm-hmm. after that detached service was over early in November. We came back, and then by train back down to Savannah, Georgia, where we began to prepare to get ready to go overseas.
That was in November of
43.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And so we that brought us up to December the 7th, I think it was, 43, that we shipped out of Hunter Field by train up to Camp Patrick Henry, Virginia, which was a port of embarkation.
Mm-hmm.
And we were there about 4 or 5 days.
So now, at that point, did you know your ultimate destination?
No. I had no idea. And when I wrote home to the folks, the only thing I could say was, as far as where I was located, was that I was somewhere on the East Coast, and the ham was mighty fine.
Okay.
And, Virginia ham.
Yeah. And you, but you didn't know that you were going to the
I didn't know where I was going.
Yeah, okay.
I had no idea. Yeah. And that was a funny feeling.
Yeah.
Not knowing.
So you
I had an idea that we were, since we were on the East Coast, that we were headed for Italy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because this, you see, this was in December,
mm-hmm.
of 43,
mm-hmm.
and they had made the invasion at Salerno in September of 43, and were fighting, you know.
Was that Patton that came in there?
Well, Patton didn't go in there. He went into Sicily.
Oh, yeah.
And
okay.
Headed that invasion. The invasion that in Italy was made by the 36th Division, which I was in later on in peacetime.
Mm-hmm.
But there at Salerno, but Patton didn't go in there.
I see. Okay, so y'all were at Fort Patrick Henry, and then how long did you stay there?
Just a week, till we could get all the supplies we needed and get shots and stuff that we were, you know, getting ready, mm-hmm. to go overseas. We had to take a battery of inoculations like yellow fever,
mm-hmm.
and tetanus and dengue fever and typhoid, triple typhoid booster shots, cholera shots. Really punctured us.
Man. All in 1 week. Huh?
Oh, yeah. Well, mostly in 2 days' time.
Mm-hmm.
I think we got one series of shots one day and then the rest of it the next day.